Amen. Choir, sing this through with me once, and then before you leave, and just sing it on your way down throughout the congregation. Amen. The blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, and oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes.
Amen.
Oh, hold it just a second. I've been reading the account of one of the sons of the five missionaries that were murdered by the Aqua Indians there in Ecuador. And one of them that killed this man's father became one of the leaders of that church and now travels with him. He's way up in years. It's been 50 years ago since they were killed. He travels with him and speaks across the United States. They have a different way of speaking, their grammar structure. But here was his testimony at one meeting. It was something like this. He said, before his father came, speaking of his friend, he said, our hearts were evil, evil, dark, dark, evil, evil. We went about killing one another, killing each other. But he said they came and told us about Jesus. And this is what I'm getting to. Here's what he said. He said, and then the blood of Jesus dripping, 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 cleanse my heart from all that evil. Oh, hallelujah. Took a murderer, made him a leader of the church. The blood of Jesus dripping, dripping, dripping. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the blood, oh, of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the blood of my Jesus, for it washes white as snow. I'm so thankful for the blood of my Jesus. Yes, I'm thankful for the blood, oh, of my Jesus. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Oh, for it washes white as snow. That's not just something that's happened in the past. It can happen this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're here and you've got sin in your life, His blood can wash you and you can leave here clean. Hallelujah. Well, let's worship Him in the house. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that makes Christ real. Oh, Holy Spirit, show some more of Christ to us. Holy Spirit, show more of Christ to us this morning. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, hallelujah. We honor you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's so good to feel the moving of the Spirit in our hearts. And I believe this is just a precursor of what God wants to do for us this coming year. All the secrets in worship. We can make it complicated, but worship is nothing more than focusing on Jesus and acknowledging Him for who He is and what He's done. Amen. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Good to see everyone in the house of God this morning. And so good to have the Heaths here with us this morning. Good to have Brandy back with us. And I haven't got a good chance to look over the congregation, but we're just glad each one is here this morning. Amen. We're going to take a break in our series about heaven this morning for communion. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll be looking at a verse of Scripture there. As you're turning, don't forget our service tonight. My heart is thrilled when the prayer rooms are filled up. The youth, I trust I'm not back there, youth. I trust you're taking advantage of that prayer room. I'm not going to get one of those reminiscings, but some of the best memories I have as a teenager is when we gathered in a prayer room as young people before a Sunday night service, and we prayed until the presence of God came down. And often we came out of the room already speaking in tongues, the Spirit of the Lord moving. And this prayer meeting over here, fill it up. Let's just believe God to do something mighty in our hearts. Everything we need is found in Christ, and Christ is found by the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? I'm just going to read one verse. I'm not going to offer a theology of this morning. I just wanted to share some practical thoughts about this. In verse 16, Paul says, "The cup of blessing." That's what we're going to partake here in a little bit. When you hold that little plastic vial this morning, tell yourself, "I am holding the cup of blessing." The cup of blessing. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And that's our word for the Lord's Supper, communion. I want to preach this morning on communion is communion. That's what it is. Communion is communion. Hallelujah. This communion that we're about to take in just a few minutes, it's all about communion with Christ. Hallelujah. Are you one with Him? Have you been united with Christ in spirit and soul, future, salvation, the cross? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the moving of the Spirit. We pray that the Spirit would continue to move through the preaching of the Word. God, you know the hearts here that are struggling this morning. You know the hearts, Lord, that are in the process of being deceived or discouraged or disillusioned. And I pray, Lord, that through the preaching and through the Lord's Supper that follows, there be a change in those lives. Minister to every need that's here. God, shut up my mind to the truth. Anoint me to speak your words in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Communion is communion. There was a small church in upstate New York that had a change of pastors. The previous pastor had pastored there for 35 years. A young man came in to take that pastorate. And to set the story up, I'll have to tell you just a little bit that their church tradition for communion is different than ours. They were those that believed in the common cup. And the pastor, the priest, would hold the cup and each would drink from that. I'm sure you're glad we have a different custom. But he would give the cup. And so it was that type of church. Each member that would partake of communion would file by, and the pastor would hold the cup and tip it, and they would take a drink from it. And so there had been a change of pastors, and this young man took the pastorate. And there in that church, they also had communion every week, not once a month, but every week they had communion. He's all excited about the new church, and the people were excited about the new pastor, and first Sunday they had communion. Well, by the second week, the pastor knew something was wrong. I mean, it was icy in the church, and people weren't treating him quite right. And several more weeks went by, and things just got worse, and he just felt the tension in the air. So finally got one of the elders aside, and he said, "Am I wrong?" The pastor said to the elder, he said, "Am I wrong, or have I done something wrong? You know, the people don't seem to be responding. They seem to be upset with me." And elder said to the young pastor, he said, "It's not anything that you have done. It's something you're not doing." And the pastor said, "Oh, yes, what is it?" And the elder said, "You're leaving something out of communion." And the young pastor, he racked his mind and he said, "I can't think of a thing I'm leaving out." And the elder said, "Oh yes." He said, "Our pastor of 35 years, every Sunday when we partook of communion and our pastor took the cup, he always paused and walked over to the radiator and touched the radiator and then came back and served us the cup. And you've not done that one Sunday." The young pastor shook his head. He went and got on the telephone. He called the older pastor up and he said, I'm in trouble. The people are upset. And I've asked the elder, and the elder said, well, it's because of you. He's talking to the older pastor, that you used to always take the cup and then touch the radiator. And I haven't been doing that. And the folks are upset. They said, I'm not doing communion right. The old pastor, he laughed and he said, oh, he said, let me tell you. Here's the reason I touched the radiator. He said, there's always static electricity. And if I just gave the cup to the folks, they got a little charge, you know. And he said, so every Sunday before I begin to give them the cup, I'd walk over and touch the radiator to get rid of the static electricity. Here they thought, the church thought that was an important part of that communion service. To them, communion, part of it was the preacher walking over and touching the radiator. You know, somewhere along the line, they missed the significance and the purpose and the reason for communion. That's why I'm preaching about it this morning. You know, I have two fears in regard to communion. With all the wonderful things about a Pentecostal church, too often communion is neglected in Pentecostal churches. It's come to the place, it's a one-time event. Did you know, besides water baptism, communion is only the only specific thing that Christ asks of us in our worship? And so I believe it's important. And so my first concern is that, Brother Brock, that we neglect the Lord's Supper. He instituted it. He gave it. He asked us to do it. He said, as oft as you do this, do in remembrance of me. That's my first concern. My second concern is that communion, I like the fact we take it every month. But my concern is that communion becomes an empty ritual, a touching of the radiator, if you please. And the significance of it is gone, and the meaning of it is gone. And you know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing to take communion often. But it's also a dangerous thing, because the familiarity breeds a lack of significance and meaning. Amen? So I'm going to talk this morning that communion is communion. Paul said, when you take the cup of blessing, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. And when you break the bread, it's the communion of the body of Christ. I observed this week as two people who used to be close friends, they got to the place that they were no longer fellowshipping and no longer sitting together and talking together. And I watched this week as once again they were together and they were walking together and sitting together and talking in deep conversation together. And what I saw taking place between them was communion. Did you know every time we hold these elements of cup and bread, there ought to be that kind of thing happening between our soul and Christ. There ought to be a deep communion and a deep sharing. That was refreshing to see. Those two were back in fellowship. They were in communion with one another. But it's to be the same way with Christ. Did you know it is evident to you? It is evident to others when that type of communion is taking place between you and the Lord, when you are having fellowship with Him. And can I tell you, there's no greater experience than when your soul is shut up in a moment of fellowship and communion with the Master. You say, think about it. Those disciples sat with Him around the table, and John laid his head on his breast, and they heard His voice. I'm telling you, it has to be no different to us. We can have that experience this morning through the elements of this communion. We can have communion and fellowship with our Lord and our Master. Don't you want that communion this morning? And so this communion is communion, put in its simplest terms. Amen. Communion, a communion service is about communion between each one of us in Christ. Even the most simple definition of communion is sharing. sharing our thoughts and our feelings with Him, and His sharing His thoughts and feeling with us. And I want us, when we get to that point this morning, to realize all over again that communion, the partaking of the Lord's Supper, is a matter of sharing. We share with Him. He shares with us. We share together. We share with one another, all at the Lord's table. The Greek word is koinonia, and it simply meant fellowship, sharing, partnership. Oh, believe it this morning. In the partaking of communion, there is to be a sharing with us and the Lord. But also in the partaking of the communion, amen, that very act begs the question to be answered. Am I indeed communing with Him? Do I have communication with God? Do I have communion with God? They're not the symbols. Amen. Every time I hold those symbols, the question that begs to be answered is, do I indeed have fellowship? Do I indeed have a heart with nothing between it and the Lord? Am I in fellowship with God? Or has something broken that fellowship? Has something come between me and my fellowship with God? Communion is communion. It's fellowship with Him. As a shepherd, hear me across the buildings, as a shepherd of this wonderful group of people, I watch and heartache as I see one of our young people turn towards the world. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Brian? You can tell they may still be sitting on the pew, but you can tell they've turned their heart to the world. I watch as a person develops a rotten attitude that's destructive to them, their family. I watch as one stops worshiping, stops praying. I watch as a person's attendance becomes so erratic and irregular. And I have a question with them. Let's forget the specifics of the issue. I just got one question. Are you in communion with Christ? Can you honestly say, my soul is in communion with Christ? Right now, today, when you hold the elements, are you sharing with Him? Are you allowing Him to share with you? I want to say communion is communion. And I'm going to be quick this morning. I just want to share my heart. But first of all, communion is our communion with Christ. It's that direction. Amen? You know, sometimes when someone from out of the area, they'll ask me, oh, they'll say, so-and-so is up in your area, another preacher. They're up in your area. Do you have any fellowship with them? Think about with people we say that. Oh, you know so-and-so? Do you have fellowship with them? In other words, do you have communion with them? You know, one thing is sure, however you answer that question, it's impossible to have fellowship with someone without spending time with them. Impossible. I cannot answer that question. Yes, so-and-so's in my area, and yes, we have fellowship, but we never get together. We never talk. I can't say that. To have fellowship, to have communion, you must spend time with them. You must have opportunities of sharing one with another. So I would say communion is communion. It's our communion with Christ. Did you know when we hold these elements this morning, we are communicating, we are having communion with Christ. And there's a lot of things to be said, but I think first of all we need to remember as we hold the elements, we are communicating with Christ our gratitude. Hallelujah. Are you thankful this morning? Are you grateful to be saved? Whatever problems in your life, never forget this, you're saved. I hate to hear someone loses their job. I hate to hear when people go through problems and difficulties in this life. But I want you to know, as you hold those elements, remember you are communicating to Christ all over again. I am grateful that you came and gave your life and shed your blood to wash away my sins and redeem me from Satan's sin and this world. Oh, hallelujah. How many believes we just need a whole lot more gratitude? Amen. Thankfulness. In fact, the Greek word that Jesus gave at the Lord's Supper is Eucharist. And that's what a lot of churches call it. That's simply the Greek word for thanks, thankfulness, gratitude. And when you hold those elements, they are not to be an empty ritual, but they are to be a communicating, a communion, a sharing with Christ, that you are grateful. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done for me. You didn't have to do it, but you did. You gave yourself willingly and readily. You gave yourself without reservation. You who knew no sin became sin. You gave yourself, you shed, you hold that little vial and you say, thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood. Thank you, Jesus, you gave me eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, you delivered me from the bondage of sin. Amen. In communion, we are communing with Him our gratitude. Amen. In communion, we commune with Christ. Our intention. Amen. If I am truly grateful for what Christ has done for me, on the heels of that gratitude comes a desire to serve Him with all my heart. I really believe that. Amen. You see a person, Sister Brock, that's really grateful that they've been saved. Then they have a desire and an intention to serve Him with all of their life. And so when you hold that cup this morning, amen, remember you are communing to Christ. You are saying to Him, amen, you are saying, I intend. You gave your life for me. I intend of giving my life for you and for your service. I intend to give myself wholly to you and commitment and dedication. I mean, think about it. Christ gave His very lifeblood, and we can't resist one video game or one movie or one illicit relationship. I'm telling you, if we're really grateful, we'll hold the cup and say, Jesus, I want you to hear this, Lord. I intend to serve you and to live for you. I will serve thee, Lord. Hallelujah. We sang it this morning, to the old rugged cross. I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This new religion says, come to Christ. He'll give you a better high than drugs. He'll give you a new car and a new automobile and all the self-potential. I'm telling you, I've got a better message from the gospel. He shed His blood for us. Let's give Him our lives. Let's let Him know about it. Let's tell Him we intend to serve Him. Hallelujah. Let's just stop and tell Him right now, worship Him across the building. I will serve Thee, O Lord, because I love You. Our communion with Christ, our gratitude, our intention, and our desire. Every time we hold these elements, there ought to be something in our heart that says, Jesus, I want you to know I want more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Oh Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Hallelujah. I heard this week, if there's anything a wife likes to hear, she likes to hear her husband say, I love you. I want to tell you, don't you think the Lord wants to hear from us too? Not just mouth service, but to hear from our heart. Today, when you hold those elements, commune to Christ your desire for more of Him. More of Him. I want to ask you something across the building. And I ask this as a shepherd. Amen. That thing you've recently got involved in, would you really be doing that if you were in communion with Christ? Think about it. That change of attitude, would you really have that attitude if you were in communion with Christ? That change in your belief, would you really have that attitude if you were in communion with Christ? Would the world really be that enticing if you were in communion with Christ? Would that little trivial incident mean that much? If you're in communion with Christ, how many knows communion with Christ puts you in another realm? Secondly, communion is communion. It's Christ's communion with us. We partake of elements or emblems, and we know they're just emblems, and we know that the cup stands as an emblem of Christ's blood, and the little wafer is an emblem of Christ's flesh. But when we partake of the emblems, if we have faith, we also partake of Christ. I'm not preaching the heresy that this wafer becomes Christ and this cup becomes his little blood, but I'm telling you, by faith, if we partake of these emblems with their full significance and take of them in the sincerity of faith, we partake of Christ himself. Amen. It's a communion of Christ to us. Through this Lord's Supper, he can commune with us. He can communicate with us his very presence. His very presence. Then Jesus said unto them, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth of my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And in partaking of these elements by faith, amen, we can partake of the very presence, the very power, the very glory, the very person of Jesus. Hallelujah. Communion is communion. He communes with us. The list would be endless, but what does he commune with us? He communes with us. He communicates. He shares his love. What this is an emblem of ought to be enough. But if you'll take of it by faith, you're going to feel the love of God this morning. How else could you hold the emblem of his shed blood and not know that he loves you? He communicates not only his love, he communicates his strength. As I just quoted to you, Jesus said, if you partake of me, you will have life. You can live by me. You see, I have problem living for Christ. Listen to me. This is for all of us. But no one has problems living for Christ that has the life of Christ in them. And when it begins to wane, weak, we can partake of him all over again. We partake of his very life. Oh, it's a mystery. Yes, sir. But if we could just get a grip on it this morning, we don't have to face the things we face with our own resources, in our own strength, in our own power. We can partake of him. We can partake of his strength, his very life. Hallelujah. No wonder Peter marveled and said, you are partakers of the divine nature. We're in a horrible environment, a wicked environment. We cannot face it in our own self, but we can face it with the life of Christ in us. So when you hold the emblems this morning, by faith, say, God, I feel weak. I need your strength. God, my spiritual life seems dull. I need life this morning. And through communion, he will communicate life and love and strength. Oh, and he'll communicate grace. I want to tell you something. I'll get on it just a moment before I quit. But I don't think we ought to take this cup if we're unworthy, in the sense that we haven't taken care of things that need to be taken care of. Amen. But I'll tell you something else. Not a one of us is worthy to hold this cup. Not a one of us is worthy of what Christ has done. But I'll tell you what we can do if we partake of this communion by faith. We can feel over, all over again, his grace. and mercy. How many knows that where sin did abound, grace did much? Are you glad for grace? How many's glad for grace? It's more than a song, it's an experience. Oh, hallelujah. I was praying last night and thought of Paul's words. He said, I'm not meet to be called an apostle. I prayed those words. I said, God, I'm not meet to be called a Christian. That means fit. I'm not fit to be called a Christian. I'm not fit to be called a pastor. But Paul went on to say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I'm telling you, partake of this communion this morning with the belief there is grace for your problem. There is grace for your sin. There is grace for your struggle. There is grace for your need. And in this very communion service, our Lord and Savior Jesus can commune with you His grace. His grace. Oh, I need grace. Anybody here need grace? Believe. Receive through the communion His grace. Amen. Hallelujah. And remember, this is a communion. I'm not picking on our young people. I love them. I've been praying at the beginning of this new year that they'll just experience a move of God that is unbelievable. My, this is getting to be a three-hanky sermon. But I tell you, you can always tell when somebody's been talking to somebody. All of a sudden, I'll kind of make this up, but all of a sudden through the youth group, you hear all the young people saying, I don't want to go to that youth camp because this and that. And if you get to listen, the phrasing is the same, and the words are the same. And if you get to tracing that, you'll trace it right down to one source. Amen. Communion is a powerful thing, one way or the other. And you can tell who they've been talking to. But I'm telling you, listen, I'm using that as illustration. It ought not to be, but I'm not preaching that. That's an illustration. You can also tell when folks have been talking to the Lord. Isn't it interesting? You know that those 10 got together with that one because they're all saying the same thing, going through the same litany of excuses. You can tell someone's been spreading the cancer. You can tell they've been talking. But I'm telling you, it's that way with the Lord. Listen, Brother Steve, we don't even have to talk with one another. But if we're all communing with the Lord, suddenly it's going to begin to come out in our conversations. And we're all going to be talking the same thing. Why? Because we've all been communing with Him. And we're getting it from Him. He's been communicating it with us. Oh, Lord. May it so be. May it so be. Amen. You see, amen. That's what God wants in our life. The communion where we not only commune with Him, but He communes with you. Amen. I've got to move on. I'll be done in a minute. But I thought of an incident one time. I'll never forget this. It was a powerful time as a pastor, but this individual had real struggles with things of the world and just real struggles. But I'll never forget a Sunday morning. God's Spirit began to move in such a powerful way. And that individual came to the altar and prayed and poured out their heart to God. And I was standing about right here. This individual got up and hugged my neck and said, oh, Pastor, I see it so clearly now. I see what's wrong with those things. I don't want to have anything to do with those things anymore. And it went great for 6 or 8 months. But then this individual was involved right back in those things again. And I got the opportunity to speak with him. And they began to tell me, well, I don't see it that way. And I don't think that's wrong, and I don't see this as wrong anymore. And I said, just tell me one thing. Amen. Do you remember that time at the altar when you hugged my neck and you told me how you saw it then and how you believed? Yes, I remember that. I said, you know why you told me that? Because you had been in communion with God. You were feeling the Holy Spirit. You were feeling His presence. And because you communed with Him, that's the way you felt then. Why is it now that you have a different belief and a different perspective? Amen. Do you ever feel this way when you've just come out of communion with God? And the honest answer was no. I never feel this way. I don't see it this way when I've been in communion with God. Why is it? It's because when we really commune with Him, He shares with us. He changes us by His presence and His grace. And we get up differently because He's communed with us. Last of all, communion is communion, not only our communion with Christ and Christ's communion with us, but it's our communion with others. Did you know this morning we're all going to share of the same table? Don't you love your brothers and sisters? I'm glad I'm not sitting on the pew. That wouldn't have convinced me. Do you love your brothers and sisters? I wasn't talking about biological. Let's try that again. Do you love... You see, we share the same table. And when we each partake with Christ, we are each partaking with one another. How many knows that nothing promotes fellowship like eating and sitting together at the same table? I'm going to tell you what I just saw. Well, I will tell you. Someone looked down and said, amen. If someone really needs to talk, you know what we'll often say? Well, let's get together for lunch. I mean, across this world, sharing food together is the occasion and the symbol of fellowship. I mean, years ago, some older pastors that I really admire, we were preaching a revival somewhere, and they came to Evangelist Quarter. And they were heartbroken, given their life. They'd already been in ministry 35, 40 years. And they said, you know, the other day, one of our best families of the church invited us over to dinner. We were glad we'd eaten dinner a lot of times at their table. And the pastor's wife began to share. She said, we all sat at the table, and then right before we began to eat, we asked a blessing. The head of the household, the man, he said, pastor's wife, we just wanted to tell you that we're not really happy with things in the church right now, and we're going to leave and go to another church. You know, forget all that. This the part of the illustration I wanted to share. The pastor's wife said, what kind of person would think that they could share that kind of information where they were disassociating themselves with us and then think that we was going to feel like sitting there and eating? And it wasn't just, not alone, just nerves of an upset stomach. It's eating at the same table is universally the occasion and the sign of deep fellowship. If you don't believe that, why don't you, when you go to a restaurant, why do you see some strangers standing around and you have some empty spots at your table and say, hey, come sit down here? Some may do that, but most people don't feel comfortable doing that. Right? Because eating at the same table is fellowship. Amen. I mean, which of you young people been involved in a... Of course, I'm talking about if you're 25 or older, but be involved in a deep relationship with another person. And then, let's say it's a young lady, and then the young man walks up to her and says, you know, I'm going to break up with you. Hey, how about we go out to the restaurant and have supper? No. Eating is fellowship. Eating is communion. And we are all going to be together at this table. And our communion is not just with Christ, it's with each other. Amen. That's why in the New Testament church, communion was what they called a love feast because, and I have you greet one another, but because when they shared the Lord's Supper, they also confirmed their love one to another. Are you glad to share the table of the Lord with this great group of people? You see, it communicates with others when you partake of communion. You know, I try not to notice. It's a private thing. But you know, sometimes people don't take communion when the elements go by them. And sometime in the privacy of our conversation, I've asked my wife, did you notice if so-and-so partook of community? Of communion? It's community as well. But did you notice if so-and-so partook of communion? And you see, the reason is, amen, to not partake means that things are not right with Christ. And or things are not right with the brothers and sisters. In fact, I commend someone for their honesty when they let the elements go by because they know things are not right. It's disheartening. It's concerning when someone bypasses partaking communion, and some will even leave the service at that time so they won't have to partake of communion. And it's disheartening And it shows that that person realizes they're not in fellowship and communion with Christ and should not partake. And it should be that way. I commend that honesty and respect of the Lord's Supper. But it's also alarming to see someone who through their own choices and their own lifestyle, they've made it evident they're not living for God. And yet to watch the elements come by and they reach for the elements. They were honest, they would admit they're not in communion with God. But they reach for the elements. Maybe it's just to try to communicate, because communion, communicate with everyone else. I'm okay, things are all right. But you're not fooled if that is you, and God is not fooled. And generally people are not fooled. Amen. Because see, when you partake of this communion, you're not only saying to God, my relationship with you is right. You're at the tables with your brothers and sisters. And by partaking of that element, you are saying to your brothers and sisters, I'm with you in serving Christ. I am with you in communing with Christ. My heart is right. Can I tell you, sometimes there's that negative that gets on folks when a preacher starts talking about living right. But I want to tell you something. There's no greater feeling and awareness in the world than to know that things are right with your heart and you are in communion with God. Isn't it wonderful to know you're in communion with Him? Hallelujah. Would you come, music? It's going to be playing. Amen. I guess because Brother Clendenin died, I was thinking about this morning. I haven't heard it on tape in many, many years. But he told it the first of his ministry when he was out evangelizing. He got asked to come to this church. It was a small church, about 40 people. And I believe it was 2 weeks, but he said he had preached night after night. Nobody moved. Nobody stirred. Nobody prayed. He said it was the deadest church he had ever been in. He'd been through 2 weeks of that. It was Saturday night. He went to bed. And if I'm remembering the story just correctly, he woke up early in the morning, maybe about 2 o'clock. He said he heard the voice of the Lord speak to him. You see, they were going to have communion that next day on Sunday, or later that day on Sunday. And he said he heard the Lord speak to him, are you going to partake of that communion service without first partaking of communion with me in fellowship? He got out of bed, began to get dressed. His wife woke up and said, where are you going? Brother Clinton said, I'm going to church. God just asked me, am I going to partake of the communion service without first? In fact, here was his words. God asked me, am I going to break bread at that communion service without first breaking bread with him? He went to the church. He spent the morning there from that time on in prayer. He said it came time for the worship service. The pastor turned the service over to him. And his words, this has only happened a couple of times, maybe a few more. But he said as he took the mic, and an anointing hit him, and he kind of like just blacked out. He said for 45 minutes, he couldn't even believe what was coming out of his mouth. He said it wasn't being processed, it was just coming out of him. He said he began to preach about homosexuality and sins and all kinds of wickedness. And in the back of your mind, if you've ever preached, you know this, every once in a while that man catches up with you. He was beginning to think, there's only 40 people here. How can there be that much sin amongst so few people? He said he preached for 45 minutes. People just sat there and stared and cold stone faces. He said after 45 minutes, that anointing broke and he thought to himself, what have I done? He could feel that tension. He could feel that negativity. He turned around to look for the pastor to find the pastor to give the service to. He said he didn't see the pastor at first, and finally looked again and the pastor was crawled up underneath the pulpit chair. Brother Clendenin said, I got down and said, pastor, it's time to take communion here. Take this service. He said that pastor looked at him, tears in his eyes, and said, shook his head and said, I'm not taking this service. You've killed us. You've killed every one of us. Clendenin said he got back and told the people, he said, come on, it's communion time. I guess it was church they gathered around. Come on, let's take communion. He said nobody moved. He said you could feel it in the house so strong. He said he didn't know what else to do. So he laid the mic down, got his coat, went down, got his wife. He said, come on, we're leaving. Let's get out here. He said there was a door out to the side. Come on, we're leaving. He said, about that time, and here's his words, he said, there was a scream. You'd have to go to hell to hear such a scream. And he said, this man came running down the aisle, slid in the altar, and started pulling out silver dollars out of his pocket. And he said, as he put them on the altar, he said, I'd starve that preacher out. I said, I'd starve. He began to weep and cry. All of a sudden, someone else screamed and came running to the altar. Amen. One boy was going to three different girls in that church, living in sin, as it began to come out. I mean, they began to run. They prayed. They wept. They cried two or three in the afternoon. Finally, they partook of communion and went home. He said, nobody got on the radio or anything. Came time to start church that night. That little church was filled. Wasn't a place to sit. He said, they opened up and began to sing. And right there in that service, so many got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they got saved. Amen. What happened? Suddenly a connection got made between the communion service and genuine communion with God. I'm telling you, we can have communion with Him. Hallelujah. How many wants to be in communion with Him? Oh, what a wonderful thing when your heart's right. What a wonderful thing when your heart's right. What a wonderful thing when you can say, I've heard from heaven. I've just heard from heaven. And this one thing I know, my sins are all forgiven. He washed them white as snow. Hallelujah. I've just heard from heaven. Hallelujah. I've been in communion with God. I talked to Him, but He talked to me. Hallelujah. Amen. If you desire that communion, would you stand all over the building and say, oh God, I want to be in communion with You. I want to be in communion with You this morning, not tomorrow. Amen. I want to be in communion with You today, currently, right now. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Let's worship Him across the building. Let's think about what we're about to do. We're about to partake of the emblems, but communion is communion. We want Christ to commune with us. We want to commune with Him, and we want to commune with one another. We're sitting at the same table. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank You for worshiping servers. Would you come? Congregation, you can be seated. Thank you for standing to worship. We're going to partake of this Lord's Supper. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Could I say one more time? Don't make this the touching of the radiator this morning. Amen. May it have its deep sense of meaning in your heart as you hold these elements and then as we partake. Oh, God, I want to commune with You. Hallelujah. I don't believe we're there yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, right now. Right now, move on our hearts. Give us that hunger for deep communion with You. To hear the voice of God. To feel His touch upon our lives. To know the grace and the mercy and the love that we so desperately need. Cleanse our hearts before You, Lord. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from Thy presence. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from us. And restore unto us the joy of Thy salvation. Hallelujah.